Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio in association with Zionomics. Seems a while since we've done a pre-game podcast because of Christmas and New Year. So I thought I'd give Greener and Jono a few weeks off from chatting to me in midweek. But guys, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good, thank you. Looking forward to the weekend. But not because of the Belfast, because I'm going away on a break and I can't wait.
Yeah, going to New York, eh?
How the other half live,
Greener?
What's that, sorry?
He's going to New York, eh? How the other half live?
I know, yeah. It must be nice just to jet off for a few days. I hear you're watching an NHL game and everything.
Yeah, Rangers against Canadiens on Sunday. Very much looking forward to that. The last time I saw the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, Ruben Under was playing for them. So.
Oh, really? Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. I manage Scarborough, Jono New York. Who's been paying the big bucks, eh? Big buck baller.
Yeah,
big
but you managed the week in Scarborough. I'm only going for the weekend.
So. No, I managed one day in York and 2 days in Scarborough, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, 4 days in Norfolk, too. Anyway, off holiday chat. So Belfast at the weekend. And Greener, we'll start with you. You know, obviously, since we last chatted, Panthers have been out of the Challenge Cup to Belfast. So in terms of to play for the rest of the season, trophy-wise, it's the playoffs now. But in terms of Panthers, like, setting the tone for how they want to be as a team for the rest of the season and into the playoffs, this is surely a good marker for them.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you want to play in the big games against the big teams, and I think we can play spoiler. You know, we still have to play Belfast a lot and Sheffield a lot. So, you know, we can definitely have a big impact on, you know, how the league plays out. But yeah, I think it's, you know, there's, you know, 20 odd games left in the regular season. I think it's just about progressing, finding that chemistry, that momentum. And there's no better place to go. You know, obviously Belfast are probably going to be up there, you know, challenging there or thereabouts for the league. So go there. Two games against one of the best teams. And, you know, if you want to win the playoffs, you're probably going to have to go through Belfast or a team like that. So you want to start laying down markers now and picking up some wins against some of the big teams.
And, Jono, fans want to and deserve to see an upturn in fortunes against any club, really. But against these clubs, like Jono says, it will probably be there and thereabouts the end of the season. Belfast, Sheffield is looming around the corner at home, which, you know, Nottingham again have not had a great record this season against Sheffield. You know, there may be nothing to play for in the league in terms of winning a league title, but there's plenty there to show to this fan base that this team can do something.
There is. They've got to go there and they've got to get results. However, Belfast are on an 11-game winning streak in the league and 12 games if you include the Challenge Cup game against us a couple of weeks ago. So they're in great, great form. It's going to be very difficult for us, I think, to go there and get something against a team who are playing like Belfast are playing at the minute. No reason we can't. The last time that Belfast lost was a doubleheader at home to the Manchester Storm where they lost both games. So there's no reason why we can't think we can go in there and get a couple of wins, but it's going to be very difficult, I think, with the form that the Giants are in.
Rina, what's it like when you play the same team back to back in the same venue? A lot of clubs do it in Belfast because it, you know, it cuts that travel. I guess more fans, you know, you look at it from a commercial point of view, more fans will go. That helps Belfast and in turn helps the league. But what's it like when you play in the same venue twice? You know, can you see niggles ride over that maybe would have been forgotten about if there'd been a month, 2 months behind, a bit between them?
Yeah, I think, and obviously we've played them quite a lot lately as well. You know, we played them back to back in the Challenge Cup only recently. And obviously then, you know, straight into these back to back games. So I think the rivalry has kind of always been there and it'll definitely build. But I think it's almost better for us than going in there for a one-off game. You know, the guys will go the day before. They'll probably get a pre-game skate. It's not like they'll fly and play the day of the game, which always, you know, like we obviously had to do in the cup game, which obviously suits Belfast. They're sat there waiting for us. Whereas when it's that sort of double header, they tend to go the day earlier. So they'll get, you know, that little bit more rest. They'll get the pre-game skate, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it definitely favours us rather than playing in one-off games. But, yeah, I think both games will be quite, you know, feisty and physical. They normally are between the Panthers and Giants.
We'll go misty-eyed, Jono. One of my favourite videos on the internet is your video after the league title win of fans coming out of the, I think it was the Odyssey then, but now the SSA Arena. What a magical moment when Panthers won the league on that night in March 2013.
13. Yeah. Don't do what your dad did and give the wrong date. Yeah,
put the wrong date on that. You know, now, while we're getting all misty-eyed, was that something you planned to do when you were thinking about the game, or was it an impulse thing?
Well, we took the camera because we was doing Cats Whiskers TV back then. That was the first season of it. And so me and Paul travelled over on the ferry, which meant it was easier to take sort of the equipment, the camera and everything. So we was going to do bits and pieces while we was out there. And obviously we just won the league. There was the presentation on the ice. And I just thought, you know what, I'll just run into the concourse, open the camera, and just hold it there while everybody came past. And yeah, it was just an impulse decision to do it. And yeah, what a great bit of 5 minutes or so of footage it was. It was great to see.
You know, to see the look, you know, to look at some of those fans that, you know, some that, from my point of view, some that I know, some that I don't know, but I've seen their faces for 20, 30 years. If you don't know the video we're talking about, you can YouTube. What's it called, Jono? Do you know what it's called?
It's on YouTube. It's called, I think it's called Panthers Fans Celebrate After Winning the Title. Yeah. When you talk to Dan next, I'll find it and I'll get you the exact title.
but it was, you know, to look at that and what that moment meant to the supporters. You know, again, while we're getting misty-eyed, greener, talking about Belfast, what was it like to be on that ice?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think it was one of those things that you didn't really know how much it meant to people until it happened. Like, obviously, I'd only been here, you know, 2 or 3 years then. And obviously, I knew that, you know, they hadn't won the league for a long time here. But yeah, I just remember that we needed to win either of them to win it. But obviously, we wanted to get it done on the first night. And we were kind of down and then level and then down. I don't think we led much during the game, but then we kind of tied it up. And then Franny scored. I think it might have been on the power play. Gallivan scored on the power play, and there was only about 3 minutes left, and you just sort of got that feeling. But yeah, I just remember Franny scored into the empty net, and then, yeah, we just piled on. And it was really good because they'd won the league the year before, so they had the trophy. So, you know, Todd Kelman, I think, very kindly kind of said, we'll just give it to you tonight. And then, so you can actually, and yeah, they just presented it to us on the ice, and that was it. The rest was a bit of a blur, but yeah, it was a great way to do it. Obviously, hundreds and hundreds of our fans were there, which made it really, really good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Not me. I didn't make it. One of the biggest regrets of following Panthers that I was unable to make that game. But watch from afar on the webcast. I think Belfast won the league the following year under Paul Ady.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
we returned the favour, Nottingham, because Belfast had to win two nights in a row in Nottingham, and then after winning on Sunday, they had to have two results go their way on the Sunday night, and those results went their way, and somebody went and got that trophy from the Panthers and took it to Hooters, and they celebrated in Hooters with that trophy. Paul Ady loves to tell the story that he went home. He got called by his teammates, by his team to come out. Adam Keefe, I think, who was playing then. But no, the trophy was presented to the Belfast Giants in Hooters. Officially again a few weeks later, obviously. but yeah, a few photos cropped up that night of the trophy there. Jono, what's it called then? You've got the answer.
It's the Nottingham Panthers. So if you type this into YouTube, Nottingham Panthers fans celebrate after winning the EIHL.
There you go. Does what it says.
Type that in. And he's had something daft in about 7,500-8,000 views since it was put out. It's the most viewed Cats Whiskers video ever by a long way.
So don't get too excited. I've watched it 6,000 times. It's that good. No, it's a great video and a great memory of a magical season. You know, Greener, just kind of pushing on that. What that team, you know, after. We all talk about the turning moment of losing at home to Edinburgh and Jordan Fox coming out saying this isn't good enough and, you know, and like that. Do you remember, two questions in one here, really. Do you remember that interview by Foxy and you know, the way it made an impact on the fans, and did it make the same impact on the team? And then also did, you know, well, I'll come on to that. First of all, the interview. Do you remember the interview I'm talking about?
I don't remember. It kind of rings a bell. I don't really remember exactly what he said and everything, but I remember we obviously had a good team and we were doing quite well and we lost. And it wasn't that we really played badly. I think we outshot them, you know, 45 to 13 and they beat us 2-1 or something. But I think it just kind of hit home that game that, like, it doesn't matter how good you are. And, you know, you're playing Edinburgh with all due respect at home, but, you know, you lose those kind of games and it can cost you the league, basically. I think it kind of hit home to all the new imports that it doesn't matter if it's the middle of October or November, you can lose a game and that can cost you the league. So it was actually, in hindsight, it was probably a good thing that we lost that game. But I say, I don't remember Jordan's exact, you know, exactly like, you know, here in the interview, but I kind of remember the situation of everybody was kind of like, all right, well, you know, we can't let that happen. And I remember back then it was the two conference system. And in one conference was all the Scottish teams. And our record against that conference was 19-1 that year. And that was the only game we lost. And I think
we actually won that conference.
Yeah.
We actually got more points against that conference than the conference winner did.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's partly down to that loss because, you know, if you don't get that early wake-up call, maybe later in the year, we, you know, we let one or two slip, but it happened early and then we obviously never really let it happen again. So,
John, our final question on this, and because I was going to ask it Greener, but he gave a great answer on that situation. My question is along the lines of just how good was that team in the sense of, it didn't start well. And actually, I found a cat's whiskers, Jono, that you invited me on, you know, probably a couple of months into the season. And we're talking about how it's just not fired. I think we talk about how Matt Francis had been one of the standout players. We were very careful in our criticism of who needed to change. Because I know at the time, a lot of the fan base were crying out for people like Galavan to go, Graham, Beckett, I think.
Graham was. Even Ling, I think, early on, there was one or two dissenting voices against David Ling, which sounds crazy now.
It does. And I look back at our chat, and we myself, you, I think Paul Barn, were being quite constructive. But I remember at the time, there was a lot of anger amongst the fans. You know, thank God that Corey Nielsen kept faith in them all and Rick Strachan. But can you put your point on just, it had everything, that team.
Yeah, I think there was a big turning point early on when Guillapin came back. Because if you remember, he didn't start the season with us because I think he was trying to get an AHL contract.
Yeah.
And he came in, I think, sort of September time. And then there was the NHL lockout and we got Anthony Stewart for a couple of months. And I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was absolutely superb in the couple of months that he was in here. And I think that Lapine and Stewart coming was the catalyst which started us on such a great run. And the thing was, it was such a balanced team. The lines were so balanced. They were scoring throughout the entire roster. Bringing Kelsey Wilson in later on as well, just to give that extra bit of muscle, I think was a masterstroke by Corey. And, you know, they went on to break records and the probably the best Panthers team I've ever seen. They were absolutely brilliant. A brilliant, brilliant team.
Mm-hmm. And the backup Netbo weren't too bad either. He was all right.
Yeah, he was decent.
Yeah, he had a good game in Belfast the second game.
Oh, yeah, because we had to play the next night, didn't we?
Yeah. I guess you'd had a bottle of Coca-Cola and gone to bed the night before. Green.
Well, do you know what? I was actually fairly good because I knew I was playing. And obviously, I remember looking around and being like, oh, God, this is going to be, you know... This might be so. Yeah, I was. I mean, I probably didn't go to bed early, but I was sort of, you know, a couple of beers and then to bed. And then obviously the next night we kind of all went out again. So that was my, I just thought, you know, I'm going to get to do it tomorrow. I'd rather try. I mean, I think we only lost 4-3 the next day. And, you know,
it was close. You know, it was really close.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in fairness, I think the guys did a great job. Obviously, because I was playing, you know, guys don't just want to pack it in and, you know, get slaughtered just because we've won. So, you know, fair play for the boys for showing up and, you know, doing their best. And I think losing by a goal or two or whatever is no disgrace. So, yeah, it was a thoroughly good weekend.
John, do you remember the night Steelers came in drunk and beat us? They'd won the league, I think, in Belfast the night before.
No, we'd lost to London the night before, which gave Steelers the lead, the league, because I was at that London game. I think we lost 3-2. That gave Steelers the lead, and they was in Nottingham the next night, and I think they'd all gone out, got absolutely hammered when it was confirmed, and then came into Nottingham on 3-0.
Maybe another one. I feel there was a night when they won the title in Belfast and walked in here. But maybe I confused that story with Dave Sims ringing me at 3 a.m. to gloat over winning the title. So maybe I confused those two stories. But there was definitely a game where the Steelers were drunk the night before and they all came in as drunks and beat us. I enjoyed that reminiscing. We should do more of that, actually. That's a good way to start. Let's have a touch back on Guildford at the weekend and Saturday's game. I tell you one thing, actually, before I'm going to reel in a comment and I'm going to hold my hands up, because a few weeks ago I said, and you guys kind of didn't agree, you kind of nodded and you said, maybe you're going over the top, but I said it was a 2-horse race. So let's go to that first of all. We all agreed that if Guildford would come out of Christmas unscathed, they would be up there for the title. They sadly for them didn't. But the one thing I did say was that Cardiff and Belfast, I thought, were out of it. Jono, I don't think they're any... This is a 4-horse race now, isn't it? I got to hold
definitely.
My hand.
Definitely a 4-horse race. 4 teams in it. Very close. And fair play to Guildford. They had the blip. They lost them 3 games, the 2 against Manchester, and then I think they lost against Cardiff. Beat Cardiff and then... beat us twice, which has seen them regain the lead at the top of the league. Yeah. So fair play to them. That's great character they've shown, you've got to say. But yeah, definitely a 4-horse race. Belfast and Cardiff well in that. But Belfast, as I mentioned, 11 straight games that they've won. So that they've dragged themselves back into that title race.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I said. I said I couldn't see Cardiff and Belfast going on runs, but they have. And fair play to them. They've been adding to their roster. And we'll touch on that, you know, in a moment about the Panthers and your interview with Omar Pasha. Greeno, is it? Do you have someone you're going to lean towards? I mean, I feel Sheffield from what I see. I feel Steelers are just are really well stacked. Belfast maybe now I think have stacked themselves to push them close. Where do you? I mean, if I was to push, I'd go Sheffield or Belfast now. And I know that's an about turn. What do you think, Greeno?
Yeah, I think Cardiff are maybe just a step behind. The only reason I say that is because they've got that Continental Cup weekend coming up, where obviously they won't play any league games, so the other teams can get more ground on them or overtake them. And then, you know, it's an extra 3 games for them. They're going to play 3 games, which have no bearing on the league at all. So, I say I could be wrong, but yeah, I think the thing with Guildford is I'm the same. I've kind of doubted them all year. Oh, they'll drop off, all this. But then you watch those 2 games at the weekend and like they haven't. Like, yeah, they had that little blip, but I mean, they've still only lost about 6 games all season. So, yeah, I think for me, Sheffield are the favourites. And I think Guildford and Belfast will be right on their heels the whole way. I'm really looking forward. Hopefully some of them are televised, but I'm really looking forward to when those 3 play each other, because they've obviously still got to play each other probably 3 or 4 times. So there's going to be some massive... And obviously Guildford have got Belfast in the cup as well. So there's going to be some big games. But yeah, for me, it's those 3. But I think, you know, Cardiff are going to be keep with them. I just think that Continental Cup, I know when we've had those... it's really knocked our league campaign, because you might pick up an injury or all of a sudden you've got to play 3 games in a week to catch up. And I just think the other 3 have had that consistency where they're just going to keep ticking over. So for me, it's those 3 with Cardiff kind of looking to overtake any of them if they can.
Jono, where does your hunch go with this?
Yeah, it depends on the games against each other. Guildford play Sheffield on Saturday. And I think they've sold it out as well, which is a phenomenal performance by the Steelers. So that's a massive game. Last time Guildford were there, I think it was on Viaplay, and they won 4-3 in overtime. So that's a massive, massive game. And if Flames win that, they go 3 points clear at the top. So, you know, that's a slight advantage to them. A lot of hockey to be played. Sheffield haven't had a real sort of barren run yet this season. I think the most they've lost in a row is one. I don't think they've lost two games in a row all season. So is there going to be a poor run for Sheffield coming up? They're a very good side, so you don't know. But I think a lot depends on the games that they play each other. I think there's going to be a double header in Belfast between Belfast and Sheffield. That'll be huge. I think if I was asked to put money on it now, right now, I think I probably have to say Belfast because of the form that they're in.
What about Sheffield's form, though? I mean, they've lost what, one in however many? I can't get the stats right off my head.
I don't know. It's Sheffield, isn't it?
I was just about to say that's where we're going with this one. I'll go Sheffield. There you go, Simsy. That's for you, Dino. Dino and Simsy. There you go. That one's for you. I know you'll go Belfast, so that means you're going Guildford or Cardiff. Who are you having then, Greener?
Well, to win it,
well, you'd have to. You can't go. We've had one Sheffield, one Belfast.
Oh no, I think Sheffield will win it. Oh. I know. Obviously, I can't have that. I mean, so yeah, I mean, yeah. Just like Jono, the way he said about if he had to bet, if I had to put money on it now, I would put it on Sheffield. I think. But to be honest, with Guildford and Belfast, I think, you know, Belfast are getting hot at the right time. And Guildford have just done it all year. They've had a couple of little blips, but apart from that, they've been pretty much perfect. But I'm going to go with Sheffield as well, I think, as of today.
Great stuff. Just before we finish, Omar had Jono, you had a very interesting interview with Omar Pasha other day. Just generally about that, you know, just he continues that engagement with the fans. Sometimes it's been via a letter on the website, other times obviously in the video content. You know, fans might not always agree with what he says and not be happy about it. That's fair enough, but it's great to see that openness continues from Omar.
Yeah, it's probably something that as a club we've not had too much of before, in fairness, and I think it's fair play to Omar to come out and be videoed and answer questions that were the quite direct questions I think I put to him, and he answered them. And I think it's something that fans would probably like to see more of that openness, and long may it continue. I think it's good. It's good that the CEO of the organisation, you know, wants to come out and speak to fans in that way.
And then just before we finish, Greener, Panthers have made a new signing. We hope he'll make his debut at the weekend. So that will be interesting to see. Very hard to see on stats and on Elite Prospects, but the signing of Swedish defenceman Albin Lindgren, played in the top flight in Norway most recently, but he's been in Sweden, Italian side Fassa when they're in the Alps Hockey League, also in Denmark. Looking from his stats, he looks an offensive defenceman. Corey Nielsen says he's a fast skating, puck moving defenseman with a great shot. You feel like he, you know, I know we've not seen him play, but he looks like the attributes that this team needs. I think as well, Corey mentioned, will help with the transition of the team, which is important.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, obviously we've got some good defensemen, but, you know, adding that, you know, probably skates very well, a bit of speed, some skill, obviously, you know, that type of player from Sweden, where I'm sure he'll be, you know, good on the power play. And yeah, just that transition, getting pucks up to the forwards, skating. Well, I think speed, something maybe we lack a little bit on the back end. And yeah, I'm sure he'll come in, you know, obviously, since Doogie Legrone's been out, he's obviously, you know, a very offensive-minded defenseman. And, you know, so hopefully he'll come in, maybe pick up some of his numbers. And it just kind of bolsters the squad. You know, there's a lot of games coming up, sort of come quite thick and fast, January, February, and lots of big games. So, you know, bring in another guy and hopefully he'll add a dimension that we've been missing maybe.
Great stuff. Well, thanks a lot to you guys. Enjoyed this one. We should reminisce more. I'm going to make that my New Year's resolution. Let's try and reminisce each weekend against a famous game against each team we play. Thanks a lot, guys, for this week. We'll catch you again. Well, no post-game podcast in the week because we're in Belfast, where the team are. None of us are. Just one of us is in New York. So enjoy your holiday, Jono. You deserve it. And we'll catch you again soon.